You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome, citizens, to This Day in History with Benjamin J. Goldson.
Someone going to answer the phone, or are we just going to push into this? All right.
Just go into it. Who cares about the listeners?
We are on air, Lachlan.
I know.
Yes, looking at the 2010 Gaza flotilla raid by the Israeli Navy. This had been intended to break a blockade imposed on the Gaza Strip since 2007, with the ousting of one group, Fatah, by another, Hamas. Fatah was part of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and it was sort of an older, more established left nationalist group, but they did participate in the 93 Oslo Accords, which both recognised Israel and made the PLO the sole representative of the Palestinian people, at least as far as Israel was concerned. Hamas was more recent, founded during the late 1980s, offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, less secular than the PLO, and more importantly, had not rejected armed struggle.
Let's begin with Hamas and Fatah. Hamas claiming victory in its fight for Gaza, saying that the strip of land has been liberated. That's a quote. Militants overran one of the last security headquarters loyal to Fatah, right in the heart of Gaza. Ben Wiedemann is following the day's developments from the West Bank.
These are the new masters of Gaza. Hamas is victorious. In less than a week of intense fighting, the group's gunmen utterly crushed their opponents in the Fatah movement, outgunning and outmaneuvering them in almost every confrontation. We control the preventative security headquarters, says this Hamas gunman, and now we're on our way to other offices. Fatah security men led away shirtless, their subsequent fate unknown. It was a humiliating defeat for Fatah and represents a massive setback for the United States, which backs Fatah leader and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. In Gaza, Hamas gunmen went on a rampage, ransacking bases that had, until recently, been the strongholds of Fatah-affiliated security services. Officials of what is left of the Palestinian Authority now say international help is urgently needed to end the anarchy.
What we need to say to the world now, we need to stop this fire, we need to extinguish this fire, we need the help to have a ceasefire, and if we don't do this, if we don't help ourselves as Palestinians, I don't think anybody can.
In the West Bank city of Nablus, there was a similar rampage, but this time by Fatah gunmen against Hamas, venting their anger on the offices of Hamas members of the Palestinian parliament. Their contents thrown out the window, and then the office set alight. Anyone suspected of ties to Hamas hauled away, also to an uncertain fate. This is Fatah's revenge for the fall of Gaza. It's now open season on Hamas in the West Bank. Among those who watched, there was understanding, if not approval. This is a natural reaction to the massacres in Gaza, says student Raji Sami. It's a natural reaction. Natural or not, both Gaza and the West Bank may be about to witness a bloody settling of accounts as each faction strives to eliminate, without mercy, their old foes. Ben Wiedemann, CNN, Nablus on the West Bank.
With Hamas now in control of the Gaza Strip, the territory would be blockaded by Israel, which would shortly after launch Operation Cast Lead, claiming that it was necessary to stop rocket attacks.
And in the bottom box, the Gaza violence continues, and Greg has more on that right now.
Yeah, we've been following what's happening in Gaza. Day three of the Israeli military offensive there. They are specifically targeting Hamas locations, including some military headquarters, security compounds, even the Islamic University there, a cultural symbol, to be sure, for Hamas. But the rockets continue to be fired from Gaza into civilian territories of Israel, targeting innocent Israeli citizens. Joining us now with more, former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He is now the leader of the Likud party and running for prime minister in the upcoming Israeli elections in February. Sir, thank you so much for being with us. If the Hamas rocket attacks continue, and there have been several more today, Would you then urge a ground invasion of Gaza?
Well, I would support the government in taking whatever action is required to stop these missile threats.
As fierce battles were waged on the ground, the onslaught continued from the air. Airplanes, tanks, artillery, and naval boats pounding Gaza as Israeli forces took up positions inside the strip. Here, a helicopter gunship opening fire. The ground offensive started once darkness fell on the eighth day of the war on Gaza. There were airstrikes as troops crossed the border. Palestinian families who spent most of the last week hiding in their homes now have to contend with close quarter battles on the streets. In the eastern part of Gaza City, these people were fleeing. They say they were forced to leave their homes.
We fled our houses because of the very heavy shelling. We will be homeless and end up in the streets. They forced us to leave our houses and belongings. Thus our children will sleep in the streets.
I'm terrified. They kicked us out of our houses. They shelled our homes and the windows were blown out. The Jews forced us to leave and we couldn't sleep all night. I spent last night crying. I'm scared for my kids and husband. I appeal to the world to interfere.
Hamas officials say they will defend the territory. One said Gaza will be a graveyard for the Israelis. Close to the border in southern Israel, roads have been sealed off. This has been declared a closed military zone. We managed to use back roads to get close to the border fence.
I'm standing less than 2 kilometers away from Gaza. From here, you can see along the strip the scale of the continuing bombardment. From the air, from the sea, from tanks and from artillery, the sound of explosions can be heard continually.
This Israeli unit allowed us to film, even though they said they were concerned about Hamas rocketing their position. Here, just on the Israeli side of the border, the unit commander told me, "I wish I was inside. I want to bring them down." James Bayes, Al Jazeera, on the Gaza border.
That was part one of This Day in History. Part two will return after Cherubim by Serpent with Feet.
I get to be devoted to him, I'm like his cherubim.
Cherubim.
I get to devote my life to him. I get to sing like the cherubim. My mouth is filled with honey. Boy, as I build your throne, I feel myself growing. Sowing love into you is my job. Sowing love into you is my job. Anything else is a weak curse.
Yeah. keep my mouth filled with you. Oh, I love the taste of you.
We now return to This Day in History. When we left off, Operation Cast Lead was ongoing. That was the Israeli sort of bombardment of the Gaza Strip. And by 2009, a truce had been reached, and yet Gaza, however, remained cut off to the world. After the Israeli onslaught, local activists warned that the overpopulated strip of land was verging on a humanitarian crisis, exacerbated by the blockade. And although Israel claimed enough aid was being let in, this claim was then rejected by the supporters of the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, who set off for the territory until they were intercepted on this day in history.
I think it's fair to say that there is quite a lot of spin going on both sides. For Hamas's part here in Gaza, we had the Hamas Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh this morning here giving a speech saying this was an act of Israeli piracy. On the other side, all week, Israeli press officers have been briefing journalists, shall we say, to say that really the aid coming in on these boats is not necessary.
Raid involving a group of aid ships and Israeli commandos, but there are conflicting reports about what actually went down.
Israeli armed forces storm a Turkish ship on its way to Gaza. Many of the passengers are killed or injured. There's worldwide condemnation of the Israeli action. What will be the ramifications? This is Inside Story.
His convoy had been saying for days they were going to run the Israeli blockade of the Gaza Strip. They refused to unload 10,000 tons of humanitarian aid here at the port of Ashdod first so it could be screened so that there are no weapons in it before it went to the Gaza Strip. The Israeli Navy then approached that convoy late at night. They broadcast signals to them, talked on the radio, asking them to turn their convoy around or bring it to Ashdod. They refused. The Navy then boarded the ship. They are saying that they were absolutely overwhelmed by what they called extreme violence by the demonstrators, and that several of the Navy SEALs...
A reporter on board the ship sent this report before communications were cut.
The organizers on board the Mavi Marmara, after two people have been confirmed killed by the Israeli army, have now asked all the passengers to go inside. They've raised the white flag. This after Israeli commandos descended upon the ship in international water from a helicopter, as well as surrounded it by vessels from all sides. Tens of people, civilians, have been injured. There are still sounds of life fire despite the white flag being raised. Tens of people have been injured. Two people have been killed on board the ship, which holds 600 activists, parliamentarians, women, children, and the elderly, all of whom are civilians. Organizers have asked everyone to go inside. So this is where we shall head. Jamal Al-Shayal, Al Jazeera, on board the Mavi Marmara in international waters of the Mediterranean.
It was a confrontation that had been waiting to happen. An international flotilla carrying aid and protesters to Gaza, the Israelis ordering them to divert. Around dawn, the Israeli Navy moved in. These pictures from a pro-Islamic Turkish aid group appear to show Israeli commandos abseiling down from a helicopter onto one of the vessels, but being attacked and beaten as they landed.
Yes, in the aftermath, 10 activists were dead and the same number of Israelis were apparently wounded.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.